You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's preview Chiefs and Ravens with our MVP. He is also with CBS Sports. Rich Gannon joins us on the show. Rich, thanks a lot for coming on today. How's it going, man?
Guys, thanks for having me. After another big Kansas City win, that's awesome.
Absolutely. I'm a big believer that good teams find a way to win in the capacity in which the Kansas City Chiefs did. They did not play their best game. I don't even think they played a B game, but they ultimately find themselves the victor at the end.
Yeah, you know, just going back and watching it, I've got the Chargers this week, so I watched the game twice. And Chiefs could tell they got off to kind of a sluggish start, you know, having to punt the ball in the first possession. And then, you know, you look at, you know, Justin Herbert. I mean, I'm just listening to the announcers. I mean, no one had any idea. And now we're finding out that obviously Tyrod Taylor had the rib injury after week one. He got injected prior to the start of the game by the team physician to kind of numb some of the pain from the rib injury, and they punctured a lung. And so, you know, we find out that no one knew. Even Justin Herbert didn't know that he was going to start that game. So you could see, and he got off to a good start, and there was some momentum, and you could tell that, I think, from a defensive perspective, certainly that was a shocker, I'm sure, to Coach Spagnuolo and even Coach Andy Reid. But offensively, wasn't great early, but boy, you know, they don't panic. I think that, to me, is what was so impressive. You know, and you wouldn't expect a guy like Mahomes to panic, but, you know, the team, I thought, showed patience, didn't panic, and obviously to come from behind and win like that, a dramatic win on the road with the way it ended, was pretty spectacular.
Why do you think, Rich, they've gotten off to these slow starts? Because it's not like it was just a Sunday thing or just a this year thing or just a playoff thing. It's been a long time now since this team's gotten off to a hot start. With all the talent they have, why do you think that is?
A great question. I'm sure Andy and the coaching staff are trying to get it figured out. You know, they go to great lengths. I've gone in and done Kansas City games where Andy's actually handed me the first 15 plays in the game. You know, I think he trusts our crew, and he's had fun with it. He doesn't do it a lot, but he's done it in some games, the week 16 games, those type of things. So they put a lot of time into the script. You want to make sure they get everyone off to a good start. You want to get, you know, your playmakers, Kelce and Hill and these guys' touches. You want to get them into the rhythm of the game, get the back going, the running game, establish the run. And, of course, most importantly, you want to get Patrick into a good rhythm early, right? Get him confidence, get him some completions, get him kind of feeling it. And it, for whatever reason, all it takes is a penalty. All it takes is a drop ball. All it takes is a missed third down opportunity. Now all of a sudden you punt it away and you're struggling a little bit. It just seemed to me they were out of sync a little bit. They missed some plays early, some opportunities. And yet, you know, like I said, I think what I was most impressed with when I went back and watched it, the six scrambles that Patrick Mahomes had, I think for 54 yards or 64 yards, whatever it was, especially the ones on third down. Now, he converted three of them. One was called back on a penalty. It would have been five. I'm sorry, he converted four of them. So four of his runs on third down moved the chains. And there was one that was called back, and he actually had a run of 21-yard scamper on third 20. I mean, they're big plays, guys. I mean, they're transformational plays in the game where your quarterback can make a play on third down and move the chains. And to me, those were significant. We always talk about his arm talent, his playmaking ability, his vision. But yet, those plays, to me, were difference makers in the game.
Right now, we're talking to our MVP, Rich Gannon. He also is a broadcaster for CBS Sports. What were your impressions of Justin Herbert? And you certainly would know how difficult it is to come in cold. What challenges does it present to not know you're going to be the starter like Herbert and then go out and play effectively?
You know, I think it actually turned out really good that he didn't know. Like, I mean, basically, he had no idea. In fact, Coach Lynn said that they told him in the locker room when they came out, and you know, he was like, you're kidding me, right? And I'm like, no, he's going to start. So I think you're just running on adrenaline at that point. You don't have time to think about it. You don't have time to get nervous. You just kind of go out there and play. And I think a couple throws early, he had some success early. You know, he runs for the touchdown. I think the team felt comfortable with him. As I look back at my notes, a couple of things that really jumped out to me. His poise, obviously his composure. He seemed like he had a very good handle and command of the plan, very good in the huddle. There wasn't a lot of delayed games, those type of things. He was comfortable with things, the line of scrimmage. You could see him making the protection adjustment, making the calls. Communication looked really good. You know, I think there was a lot of missed tackling by the Chiefs early in the game. You know, I thought, you know, when you play a team like the Chargers with Keenan Allen, the backs like Eckler and Kelly, they usually make the first defender miss. You've got to be able to tackle in space. The Chiefs did not do that particularly well. In fact, if you go back and look at the Week 1 game, I didn't think they tackled particularly well in that game either. So, you know, you factor all that in, and then you say to yourself, like, why was this game close, and why, you know, why did the Chiefs have to come back and make a couple of kicks into the game? And I think that had a lot to do with it. I mean, it's not just one particular thing. It was a combination of things that really led to what turned out to be a dramatic come-from-behind victory on the road.
Rich, if you had to take an AFC West quarterback and you can't take Patrick Mahomes, let's say, is your guy for the next 2 or 3 years, you taking Herbert, you taking Locke, or you taking Carr?
You know, guys, I've watched both. I've Carr Week 1 and obviously watched the game on Monday night. And let me just say this about Carr, because there's a lot of critics, and I've been one of them. The thing that you can't get over is the one-loss record. I mean, it's not good. He's got a lot more losses than he does wins. But last year, he threw for, I think, 70.4%, second only to Drew Brees. You know, touchdown interception ratio was good. He threw for the most yards, most completions, you know, highest completion percentage in his career. The last 2 years they've had a really good offensive line. They go out and get Josh Jacobs, and we talked about that they've made the wide receivers, the two young receivers. And then you get this Darren Waller, who I'm not going to compare him to Travis Kelce because he's different, but he's really a wide receiver guy playing the tight end position. And that's really helped. You know, it's really helped like Carr. And I'm just saying right now, like, you look at Carr's last two games, he's really played well. He's kind of come into his own. And I think he's got a chance to have a really good season. They're not very good on defense. That's going to be the problem. They have to score 35 points every week, I think, to be competitive. But it's hard to pick a rookie quarterback. And the kid Locke is, you know, he's out with an injury. He got hurt last week. I did the game last week in Pittsburgh. I would say behind, I think it's Carr right now.
Right now, we're talking to our MVP, Rich Gannon. Let's talk about the huge Monday night affair between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens. You have studied both of these quarterbacks. You've watched both of these quarterbacks. What development and growth have you seen in both Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson?
You know, it's so hard to, like, say, like, where have you seen the growth of Mahomes, right? Because you say, well, the minute you start saying, well, he's better than this, he's better than that, you say, well, yeah, but he was pretty good at that the first time around. You know what I mean? I mean, the guy is such a, you know, I was just reading something this morning about Andy comparing him a little bit to Brett Favre in terms of, you know, tear your insides out. He's, you know, his mindset, and I think the way he sees the entire field, and then, you know, just his demeanor on game days. I think it's a lot easier for me to say, where have I seen the improvement of Lamar Jackson than Patrick Mahomes, and I say that in a complimentary way, because honestly, it's nitpicking when you start talking about Mahomes' improvement. I mean, the guy won a Super Bowl last year. He's an MVP. I mean, the guy is he's probably the best quarterback in the league right now. I mean, I think when you look at overall game, if you're talking to 32 general managers, I'd be surprised that many wouldn't just say, I'll take the kid in Kansas City. You know, when you look at how young he is, how explosive he is, how dynamic he is, his all the intangibles that he loved, the quarterback position, his leadership skills. I mean, you just go down, check every box, and you get the Patrick Mahomes. Now, Lamar Jackson, where I think you're seeing some improvement is an overall understanding of defensive football, coverages and those type of things, protections. I think you're seeing a little bit better sense of the footwork in the pocket. He's not a pure drop-back guy, and it's not that kind of offense. A lot of what he does is he creates on his own. He runs around, he plays with his legs, he throws the ball down the field. He's pretty accurate when his feet are set. But he's got to get better at functioning from the pocket. And he's got to get better in games where they have to throw the ball when they're playing from behind. Now, last year that didn't really happen, but the last two times they've been to the postseason, both losses, he fell behind, and they just that's not who they are. They don't want him throwing the ball 35 times a game. He's not the most accurate guy, doesn't have the best footwork in terms of a rhythm passer when it gets to be third down. Third down can be a challenge for him. If you take away his primary receiver, he can struggle a little bit. So that's, to me, that's where I look at Lamar Jackson and say, where can he become a more complete quarterback? I think it's in the passing game, better understanding protection, better understanding the coverages, better understanding situational football, and functioning better in third down and those critical situations. Third and 2-4, he's terrific, because if it's not there, you just run for it. You start getting the third 6+, third and 8+, third and 10+. You know, that's where I think he has some challenges and some struggles. He still has to, areas of his game where he still has to refine.
Rich, you're right, where Baltimore is a team that wants to run it 35 times, 40 times. They want to establish that run, and they want to impose their will. Break down for us what makes the Ravens' running attack so good.
I think you have to start with the personnel, right? And I think you can look at the backs, the people who are touching the ball. I think you start there, and honestly, it starts with the quarterback, because – you know, they have designed runs for him. He's got runs where he just decides to pull it down and take off. You know, Mark Ingram is a old school throwback, tough, downhill, knock you backwards, physical finisher, that type of runner. You know, Edwards is a guy that can come in and do some things. But here is the key to it all. And you're not going to hear this from a lot of other people, but here is the key to their running game. They've got five good offensive linemen, big guys that knock you backwards, but they really have seven. So what they do is they bring in Nick Boyle, okay, 86. And 86 is really a glorified tight end, a tackle. He's 275 pounds, okay, and he can almost 280. He can knock you backwards. And then if that's not enough, they've got another guy that is just as big and nasty and powerful. And he plays defensive line, and he lines up in the backfield, and he's a guy that I really think is pretty amazing, because just his size. You get seven big bodies on the field, and it just makes it hard. So they use defensive linemen in the backfield. They put a lot of big bodies back in there, and they get seven big bodies on the field, and they run it right at you. And so, to me, that's a big part of it. They use multiple tight end usage. You'll see two tight ends, three tight ends. They get a lot of big bodies out there, and they run it at you. And so, if you're the Chiefs, you have to get off of blocks. You have to stop the running game, because if you don't, you're going to see heavy doses of it. The way the Chiefs win this game, obviously, they've got to do what they do on offense. I think they match up well. But they've got to be able to turn this into a passing game. They've got to make the Ravens be a one-dimensional. Get Lamar Jackson behind the sticks. Get him behind in the down. Get him into those third and seven pluses. And force him to sit in there and throw the ball and function as a pocket passer. To me, that will be the key to the Kansas City defense.
Rich, last thing. Lamar Jackson's been great so far his entire career, like Pat. He's only lost three regular season games. Two of those have come at the hands of Patrick Mahomes. Just from a mental aspect, how important is it that the Ravens and Lamar Jackson win this game? Because if not, you'd have to think Lamar's thinking, I don't know if I can beat this dude.
It's a great point. You know, you get these quarterbacks and these matchups and these rivalries that develop, even though it's not in the same division. But, hey, Lamar Jackson's tired of hearing about Patrick Mahomes. I'm sure he is, and looking at where can he become a complete player at the position. And so this is an important game. You never know how. There's only 16 of them. They're all critical. And then you never know if you get into these tiebreakers and the record and home field advantage and all that kind of stuff. They're important. I think Lamar Jackson has to show that he can go up against another flamethrower like Mahomes and come out victorious. And this will be a fair fight for him. And he's going to make some plays with his arm, against his defense. Because, I think when you play Lamar Jackson, you got to set the edge. You got to force him to sit in there. You can't let him run wild. You got to be disciplined with your eyes and your rush. And you just got to make him play quarterback. Take away his ability to pull it down and run as best you can, because that's really where the hidden yardage shows up. That's where the explosive plays show up. You start playing a lot of man coverage. Teams don't want to play a lot of man coverage versus Lamar Jackson, because everyone's got their back turned to the line of scrimmage running in coverage, and then he sees an opening, he pulls it down, and then there's 20 yards of green grass. I think you see teams put a little bit more zone coverage, try and keep things in front of them, try and have people keep their eyes on the quarterback, and when he decides to pull it down, to be able to make sure you run. And the other thing about Jackson is, guys, he's not going to slide. He's not a slider. You know what I mean? He's a spinner, twister, fall forward type of guy. He's looking to get everything he can, and he's not a guy that runs out of bounds a lot. He's not the biggest. I mean, you know, you look at him size-wise, you know, he's 6'2", he's 215 pounds. He's got kind of a thinner build to him. But I'll tell you what, he is tough and he's durable. You know what I mean? He doesn't take a lot of vicious hits. This will be a great one. I mean, everyone will be tuned in for this one, obviously, primetime game, and I can't wait to see it.
That is Rich Gannon, our MVP. He is also with CBS Sports joining us today to take a look ahead to the big Monday night game between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens. Rich, always good talking football with you. Thanks for coming on today.
You guys are the best. Have a good one.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.